Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
To stash or to drop? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pisapia, and with me today is Derrickson. That's right, my favorite couple, Andrew Erickson, Big Pod Energy himself, Derek Brown, D-Bro, a.k.a. the King of Bros, and of course, it's you hanging out with us. And we know the waiver wire is starting, so we wanted to give everybody a little bit of a jump on things because you just drafted your team. You probably feel pretty good about it. Maybe there's one or two players that went undrafted or one or two players you have on your bench, and maybe circumstances have changed and you're wondering, should I stash this guy? Should I drop this guy? Well, you're lucky because we're going to tell you that. That's why we're here today. It's a little game of stash or drop, and the boys, you're going to help me. And I got to tell you, gentlemen, I'm very excited. It all became very real today. It's Monday morning of Labor Day, and the labor is going to begin for the next 4 months of birthing championships for all of our listeners. That's right. That's where I went. It's early. It's a holiday. Deal with it, everybody. But here's the thing. I had this sort of moment where I went, oh no, here we go. Winter is coming. I know what the next 4 months are going to be. And I had kind of a sigh. And then I smiled. I honestly, this is true, because I said, that's all right, because I've got Derrickson with me for the next 4 months. And I felt really excited about this, boys. How are you feeling, Derek Brown, about the beginning of the season really starting now?
I'm ready, man. I've already started like reserving dummy lineups for DFS. I'm looking at week one stuff and writing up. Oh, it's go time, baby. We're here.
And Debo and I are going to be doing DFS together on Fridays on our Discord. So you're going to want to check that out. Actually, it's going to be a link too. We're going to be doing that show. So it's going to be everywhere. So just check that out. So a little different format. It's not the normal podcast format. Just a heads up. We'll make it available for you. Don't worry. Andrew Erickson, this is what we've worked for. As Derek said before the show, I'm take fatigued. I kind of feel like we all are take fatigued. It's time for some real football. It's time for some grades, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to early victory lap season on Friday because Gabriel Davis is playing on Thursday night. Cam Akers is playing on Thursday night. So a lot of player takes are immediately going to be drawn. It's like, wait, Gabriel Davis is a bust if he doesn't, you know, get 10 or 12 or 15 fantasy points. If he doesn't get six targets, Gabriel Davis is going to be a bust. If Cam Akers doesn't see 100% of the snaps for the Rams out of the backfield, he's going to be a bust. So I'm already pushing all the chips in on Thursday night. So it took all the power for me to not put my Gabriel Davis jersey on this morning, saving it for Thursday. Looking forward to it.
I was going to say, I think you should wear it Thursday and then sleep in it if he does well and then wake up on Friday and just wear the same thing again. That's what I'm saying. Just all day. Just wear it the whole weekend. Maybe never take it off if he has a good game.
If he delivers, I'm not taking it off.
It's staying on. The beard's going to grow. Can you grow a beard, Erickson? How long does it take?
I can grow hair on my face. It's not really a beard. So it's the best way I can describe it.
Fair enough. All right. If you need some more assistance with your waiver wire, not so much growing hair on your face, the waiver assistant is available right now at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Now, remember, My playbook is that system where if you've got leagues in different places, if you've got ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, all these different leagues and all these different spots, My Playbook can help you set all your lineups just from Fantasy Pros in one spot. Fantasy Pros, you can set your lineups one spot. Did you hear what I said? That's magic. A lot of people don't still know that that exists. But on top of that premium feature, we also have the waiver wire assistant, and that tool is going to help you obviously identify the players that have the upside for you to add to your roster, depending on how the roster works out for you and your draft. So go ahead and check out the waiver assistant today at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And remember, only premium subscribers get the most out of the waiver assistant, get the most out of My Playbook for setting lineups and checking out all the stuff that we have and the cool tools. But you can get 6 free months if you go to fantasypros.com/offers. You don't have to pay us a dime. Just go play some DFS, go make some wagers on one of our partner sites at fantasypros.com/offers. And when you do, you get 6 free months of the premium product and access to us over on Discord too, which is going to be fantastic stuff. So gentlemen, we're going to do this a little head-to-head style today. We're going to start with the running backs. We're going to go through all these players and then eventually wide receivers, hit a couple tight ends and a couple QBs as well. And let's play a little stash or drop first with some new teammates. Mike Davis, who didn't look like much was left in the tank last year for the Atlanta Falcons, but wasn't bad O-line. And then Kenyon Drake, who found himself out in Las Vegas and now in Baltimore. Clearly, there's a little bit of an issue of depth at this position. You have J.K. Dobbins coming back for an injury. He's going to be there. Gus Edwards going to start the year on the pup. So Mike Davis or Kenyon Drake, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping? Andrew Erickson, let's start with you for this one.
I think it really depends on the matter which you need them for service in terms of, so if you need to start someone week one, like I'm going to start Mike Davis over Kenyon Drake. Like that's who I'm going to rank higher than Kenyon Drake. But in a long-term stash, I think Kenyon Drake is a better running back overall. I think he has more upside in the Ravens backfield. If an injury, you know, J.K. Dobbins gets banged up again, if he has to miss more time, Gus Edwards is still coming off an injury. So I think in the long-term is definitely Kenyon Drake, the guy I'd rather stash. And I'd probably rather drop Mike Davis. But if I need someone to play in week one, everything the Ravens showed us during the preseason is that Mike Davis is the guy that they will lean on as the starting running back. I know people will point at how bad he was last year, but Joe, you bring it up all the time. The Falcons offensive line. Dude, nobody can run behind that. But when he had a better offensive line in Carolina, when he's getting more touches, he was an RB2. And we saw last year, Devontae Freeman, the dusty Devontae Freeman, be a top 24 running back because he got volume. So people hate Mike Davis because he didn't live up to his fifth round draft capital last year, which he never should have been going in anyway. And I think that he's a plug and play guy if you need a starter, or if you drafted J.K. Dobbins and you're like, oh, I can't play him this week, I got to pick someone off the waiver wire to start in my RB2 slot. I think Davis is the guy, but Drake would be the one I would want to stash if I don't need immediate production week one.
All right, let's go to you, D-Bro. Same guys, Mike Davis, Kenyon Drake. I know a lot of this has to do also potentially with format. You know, Drake may be slightly more appealing in the full PPR, and you've been a guy that's mentioned Drake as a stash guy earlier in draft shows. So who are you stashing? Who are you dropping between this duo?
I mean, we're talking about dust bunnies. Mike Davis absolutely fits the bill there. I've got to drop Mike Davis. I think when it's all said and done, we see Dobbins, if he's playing week one, if he's not, when Gus Edwards comes back, I think if we're looking at one of these guys as more long-term value, as well as who could be hitting the streets themselves, not only just in your fantasy league, but in real life, Mike Davis is the guy I'd say was on the way out. If you would have had both these guys free agents at the same time, I venture to say that Kenyon Drake would have got the job before Mike Davis. So give me Kenyon Drake as the long-term stash and the short-term for week one.
All right, so Kenyon Drake for you. Let's move to the next duo of running backs now. This one all of a sudden became a lot more complicated over the last 2 weeks. Brian Robinson was rising in drafts. Now we have a lot of uncertainty. There's been reports. Maybe in November he comes back. I mean, we really are in uncharted territory, which is a phrase used way too often. But it's an unfortunate set of circumstances surrounding Brian Robinson. The good news is obviously he is okay in terms of health-wise overall. And that is the most important thing. And then we have Raheem Mostert, who is a guy that's dealt with a whole different set of health issues in his career. A little clearer path with Sony Michel no longer in this backfield in Miami. But at the same time, these are two backs that have a lot of, I would say, outer appeal in a lot of fantasy people's minds. So how do you sparse these two here? You've got Brian Robinson Jr., Raheem Mostert. Which one are you stashing? Which one are you dropping, D-Bro?
For me, it's Brian Robinson. And I understand the risk and stuff like that. I've been talking about it in our Discord. I think Brian Robinson, we've seen him come back faster than people are expecting. I mean, all the tea leaves and everything that we've seen out of Brian Robinson. He was discharged from the hospital early. He was already at the team facility. He's putting weight on that leg and stuff. And I understand he's on the IR, I want the upside of Brian Robinson in this scenario. Raheem Mostert, yes, he's got a standalone role from week one, but the Miami Dolphins kind of showed us their hand in the preseason. Chase Edmonds was playing passing down snaps out of the 10 snaps he played with Tua in the week that he played. He was running routes when he was not getting carries. So I don't see Mostert as having the pass catching role. And I want Brian Robinson's upside, man. Like, whenever he comes back, he already in short order supplanted Antonio Gibson. So if we ever get health out of Brian Robinson for this season, which I think we do, I want that upside.
It's the build back that concerns me with Brian Robinson. It's like, how atrophied is the leg? And this is, we're playing running back here. You know, this is not like a normal set of circumstances. We're just trying to walk. He's trying to run in the NFL through defenses. So when you're looking at these two backs, Mostert and Robinson, Andrew Erickson, how do you feel about these two?
I'm going to go with Mostert here because he's the one that's actually healthy of the two running backs. He's going to be the one that can actually put up production. But what I'm saying is when you score fantasy points, you gain value. Like, Brian Robinson is not gaining value. If anything, I would say his value is going to depreciate because let's say Antonio Gibson plays well. Like, Washington has a pretty easy schedule to start the year. Like, remember, we liked Brian Robinson because he was going to be the starting running back. Now Antonio Gibson has a chance, while Robinson misses time, to solidify himself. Like, no, like, I was an RB1 the last two seasons. Like, I am Washington's starting running back. So there's no guarantee, okay, Brian Robinson's healthy. Oh, well, Gibson's been balling out. So they're not going to give him the starting role back that Brian Robinson earned over the summer because Gibson has played well. So that's a fear that I have. Or you could stash Brian Robinson, then he comes back. Okay, sick. Now you have an early down grinder on a bad offense. Like, I guess I'm not sure like what the appeal is. Where Raheem Mostert, dude, he's going to be efficient. Like, we know he's going to be efficient when he's healthy. And I would just ride Raheem Mostert till the wheels fall off in an offense that I think he can take advantage of when he is healthy. He's familiar with the scheme, and I think he'll gain more value. I'm looking at it as a value play, and I think he'll get more for Raheem Mostert, and you try to ship him off before inevitably the wheels do fall off and try to sell high on him.
Would you say that a lot of this has to do with also potentially how good of a running back room you have on your fantasy team? Like, if you have Jonathan Taylor who's got a late bye in week 14, maybe Brian Robinson is the more appealing stash because you can afford to wait. Does that enter into it at all? As opposed to a guy, let's say you don't have a great running back room. You went hero RB or zero RB or whatever you did, and you need a little bit more help, then Mostert clearly would be the guy that you'd want to hold on, right? So does that enter into it for you guys too? Roster construction?
Yeah, I think the context obviously matters. I mean, if you need to, you can't start Brian Robinson this week. Like you can't do it. Where you can risk, you could start Raheem Mostert this week. So there's a different value calculation that you have to make. If you're playing in a 16-team league and you have to start, you know, so many players, like Brian Robinson's a bench spot that you can't access for a long time. So in deeper formats, I feel like Mostert would be the guy I'd rather have right now versus Brian Robinson. That, you know, a lot of things kind of have to fall in his favor. He has to be healthy. Like I said, Gibson has to play bad, I would say. And they don't have a very tough schedule to open the year.
All right, let's move on to a pair of older guys, little veteran duo here. Sony Michel, who obviously got dropped out of that Miami backfield and now finds himself with the Los Angeles Chargers, who've been looking for a while to find a secondary back. We'll see if maybe Sony Michel is that guy. Maybe it is Isaiah Spiller. We'll find out soon. Maybe kind of, sort of. And then Mark Ingram of the New Orleans Saints. Now, Ingram's value was supposed to be much higher because we thought the imminent suspension of Alvin Kamara. And here we are on the 5th of September, and doesn't look like that's happening, at least not right now, although surprises always come from the office of Roger Goodell at any moment. So Mark Ingram, Sony Michel, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping? Andrew Erickson, how do you see this duo?
I'm going with Sony Michel. I think that the Chargers are telling
us... To what? To stash or to drop?
To stash.
Okay.
I only talk about the positives of these players. Sony Michel is who I want to stash. I liked Sony Michel throughout the offseason, and I thought it was because he was going to be on Miami, but when he got cut and landed in LA, I was like, this is even better. Like, I'm still in on Sony Michel because they show us by picking him up, an established veteran, a former first-round pick that showed last year that he could carry a three-down workload for the Rams. You know, the Chargers have been trying to find a second back to Eckler like for the past 3 years, ever since Melvin Gordon left, and they still haven't found someone. So I think that Sony Michel is going to take on that role. Maybe we see Isaiah Spiller take on it later in the year, but he was dealing with an ankle injury, and clearly he hadn't showed enough about what he could do to offer in this offense to make them not have to add another veteran running back. So I think Michel opens the year as the RB2, and that's the guy that I'm stashing on a lot of my teams.
All right, Debro, you had a lot of thoughts and feelings about Mark Ingram earlier in the season. I don't know if they're still the same now at this point. So Ingram, Sony Michel, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping?
I'm going to go with Sony Michel on this one. And I was in on Ingram early in the offseason when the suspension was more likely for Alvin Kamara. It sounds like that's going to get shelved to maybe next year. And then looking at age and offensive opportunities and things like that, look, I've talked about Isaiah Spiller all offseason, and I'm not saying that there's still not a path for him to succeed in Los Angeles this year, but we do also have to understand the context that Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree, who is now on the streets, is they were running ahead of him in camp, and that we have to understand that. So now that they signed Sonny Michel, I get it's way, way late in the preseason process, but we also can't dismiss Sonny Michel being the RB2 in this backfield. So if Austin Ekeler goes down, hell, if they want to sit here and have somebody to have a standalone role running next to Ekeler, it could easily be Michel. So give me the better offense. Give me the upside. I'll go Michel.
All right. So there you have it. Let's move on to our last duo. And then I'm going to ask Debro another question about the running back we already talked about, because it just popped in my head there. So Eno Benjamin or Tyler Allgeier. So this is kind of that deeper league scenario here. Tyler Allgeier, obviously somebody that some people were high on, thinking, okay, we can possibly get to a point where Allgeier maybe sooner than later starts to take carries, but he's been, I would say, mixed results in camp so far, some of the reports that we've gotten. And then Eno Benjamin, a player that was probably behind theoretically Williams when we were coming in as the number two back in Arizona. That's starting to feel like a little different situation here. So Derek Brown, Eno Benjamin, and Tyler Allgeier, who are you stashing and who are you dropping?
I'm going to stash Eno Benjamin. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, every time somebody's put a mic in front of his face, he's been like, oh, Eno. He loves it.
It is a fun name to say.
Yes,
it is. It's fun.
Yes.
Throw that out there. Lord.
God, that'll thrill. That's going to take us a while to recover from that one. Now, every time I see him on the field, I'm still going to think about that. Well done, Andrew. Well done.
That was well done. It's got to be Eno. Andrew just wrecked me. I'm going to toss this to him. I need a second to recover.
All right, it's Eno. Yes, for you as well.
Oh, my God. You guys are boomers. So I like Eno Benjamin, too. I like Eno Benjamin, too.
Hold on. I am sick and tired of you calling me a boomer, for God's sakes. I am nowhere near a boomer, all right? Enough. I'm the guy who everybody comes to set up all of their equipment whenever they have issues and stuff like that. I am sick and tired of all of this. Just because I don't like Apple products and that's what they sent me and I didn't know how it worked, that's different.
Don't equate these into my... Well, fine. I'm a boomer. That's fine.
I'm going to say, he's got this cones on his ears here if you're watching on the YouTube channel. All right, go ahead, Erickson.
All right, so I've been a fan of Darrell Williams for a lot of the offseason, but, you know, just thinking about it more with Eno Benjamin, I think that he just has the best chance of putting up immediate production. You also have intrinsic upside. If something were to happen to James Conner, it's a better offensive situation than you have in Atlanta. I'd rather have an Arizona Cardinals backup running back than a backup running back on the Atlanta Falcons. And if we see Benjamin take on this Chase Edmonds role in full, I mean, Edmonds was fourth in receptions before he got hurt last year, before week seven with an ankle injury. You have the Cardinals dealing with some injuries with Zach Ertz, Rondale Moore. Those guys are questionable for week one. So it's like, you have to remember that people are so fixated on what did they do in week one? Did they score fantasy points? And that's where you're getting value. Like, when I'm talking about stashing players, I'm also thinking about, I want to appreciate the most amount of fantasy value on my roster, because then I can make moves and make trades, buy low on players I liked that didn't necessarily do that well in week one, and sell players that I'm not necessarily super high on that do well in week one. So I think that Eno Benjamin kind of falls into that category. I mean, he's basically available all over the place. And I mean, if James Conner goes down, like, everyone's going to be bidding on the Cardinals running backs. Like, I'd wish an injury on anyone, but like, this happens all the time where it's like, all right, who do you pick? It's like, make sure you have at least one of these dudes on your roster already. So when someone goes to the waiver wire to try to add Eno Benjamin or Darrell Williams, oh, you already have them rostered before they even played. So I think Benjamin also has a chance to have just a big game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a very bad defense in terms of giving up production to running backs in the passing game. I mentioned the injuries to some of the receivers already. There's no DeAndre Hopkins. Like, there's a chance he takes on a big role just in week one, and that alone is going to be warranting a roster spot on your team.
I wonder, too, how Rondale Moore gets used in that offense, too, because I feel like they might start to gimmick him a little bit more Deebo Samuel style, potentially.
That's the question mark. Is he going to be healthy for week one?
Right. No, you're 100% right. And you're also right about, you know, James Conner. If you look historically, he's got two healthy seasons under his belt and the rest are checkered. So, you know, Benjamin, in that sense, becomes the probability becomes a lot higher that he could actually be impactful. All right, let's go back to you now that you've collected your thoughts and yourself, Derek Brown. Talk to me about E.S. Benjamin.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with Benjamin on this one. I think one, all the Kingsbury stuff, as well as the pass game role. And Erickson hit the nail on the head here. I mean, we could see one of these guys take a standalone role. I think it's Benjamin. And Algier could just be stuck in a 3-4-way committee. I mean, you got Patterson there. You got Damian Williams. I mean, we can't say that, like, we really get ever a startable asset out of that backfield. Maybe Patterson. But outside of that, yeah, I'm going to go better offense. I'm going to go better, probably more clarity to this, because I think that as much as Kingsbury's talked about him, I think Eno Benjamin is the RB2 on this team. So for all these reasons, yeah, it's easily Eno.
Erickson, real quick, Tyler Algier was a very buzzy fantasy guy here in a lot of draft coverage in the last couple months from a lot of our guests and even some of us too here at Fantasy Pros. Where does he stand now in terms of his value?
Right now, I think he doesn't have a ton of value, because just look at the Falcons schedule. Like, it's so important to look at and see, can this guy gain value? Okay, who are they playing week one? New Orleans. Can teams run the ball in New Orleans, especially the
Typically
Falcons?
No.
Okay. No. And then you have next week. Oh, they play at the Rams. Is that a team that you can run the football on?
Nope.
No. Nope. Seattle, bad against pass catching running backs, good against rushing running backs. That's where they play week three. The Cleveland Browns, week four. At Tampa Bay, week five. San Francisco, week six. Like, where is Tyler Algier going
to
be
producing? Starting to feel a pattern here as you continue to talk.
So Algier is going to get dropped. I'm telling you right now, even if he ends up being like, he gets starter snaps, he's not going to be putting up any number. He's going to be the dust ball that, oh, we got 15 carries for 40 yards and nobody wants him. So he's someone that you get on the back end of the year after he gets dropped, because no one in this Falcons backfield, unless they're catching passes, is going to produce. And Algier probably is the least likely of him, Damian Williams, and Cordarrelle Patterson to be involved as a receiver, especially as a rookie, you know, to start the year.
All right. Derek Brown, before we close out RB, I know you had some more thoughts on Brian Robinson you wanted to share too.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to bring up as well that I think that even if Antonio Gibson goes out and has good games, this organization has screamed from the very beginning they don't have any faith in him. So even if he plays well, I mean, really, it might not turn the tides that much for Antonio Gibson, because Washington has seen him not produce, fumble away opportunities, and leave yards on the field for multiple seasons. So does a 3-4 week sample really change that? Whenever they were so quick, like Antonio Gibson put the ball on the turf in the preseason, they're like, ha ha, no, you're not the starter. Brian Robinson is. So even if he plays well, I still kind of lean to Brian Robinson taking that job back in short order.
But wouldn't you say that if he plays bad, then that would heighten Brian Robinson's chance of becoming the starter? So you don't think it matters at all whether Gibson plays good or bad? Like, they're
not
just going to go back to Brian?
Nope.
So if he goes out and fumbles in every single game, you don't think that's going to increase Brian Robinson's chances?
I think Brian Robinson's chances are good regardless.
See, I disagree. I mean, if Gibson plays well, like, why wouldn't they ride the hot hand? Like, that's what they talked about.
In all fairness, they had the hot hand last year in the second half, Washington. Mm-hmm. And Gibson looked like a perfectly good investment. And in fact, everybody ranked him super high off that. And that didn't seem to matter. 2 years ago, he was the hot hand to close out his rookie season. He gave you a lot of productivity. That doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem like anything Gibson does matters theoretically to Ron Rivera from what they're telling us. So I don't know what's changed. I don't know if it's a personality thing, if it's a personal thing. I don't know what that is. But in all fairness, I mean, Gibson has shown you stats. He's shown you moments, but that doesn't seem to be enough. So I don't know if all of a sudden now the first half of this year is enough all of a sudden for Ron Rivera either, theoretically. I think that's where Derek Brown's coming from. I don't want to speak for you, D-Bro, but is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. No, that's absolutely it. I mean, I think that we get the clearest path about our understanding about what teams think about players and situations from the draft and free agency and stuff and everything they've done in all of those different facets, as well as supplanting Gibson immediately and sticking him on the special teams unit. I think it all says that we believe in Brian Robinson. He can be the guy. He's solid. We don't need flashy. We just need don't screw up. And Antonio Gibson is screwed up too much.
Hot take, because maybe I'm not done with takes. Maybe I got one less take in me. I would say this. We'll get this Commander's backfield. Now's the time to dump all of it, because it's all theoretical upside. If you have Brian Robinson, you package him in a trade and get something more reliable.
It's also a three-headed committee, too.
Like, it's a three-headed committee. There's so many. Oh, you want to talk about range of outcomes? If you looked up range of outcomes in the dictionary, it would be the Washington Commanders backfield. I mean, really, it is so difficult.
Rivera's face is right there, just staring at you.
That's right. You know, it's like a three card Monty game, and Ron Rivera is like moving all these little cards around. And it's like little tops cards of of McKissick and Robinson and Gibson, and you don't know which one's going to be or how it's going to work out. Even if someone plays well, what does that mean necessarily? I don't know. So I think all these guys are better theoretically right now than they are in actual practice. Consider the first trade you can make moving on with the Commanders' backfield. It might be the best course of action. Let's switch gears to wide receiver here, and let's talk about some of these folks. Before we get into wide receiver, though, I think we want to take a break because you know what time it is in the show. It's Miller time, baby. Let's go. It is time. You might still have some drafts left. There's plenty of time to buy beer online right now at MillerLite.com/buy-beer-online. Just 96 calories per bottle. I mean, that's glorious right there. I mean, you could do the math. You can have an entire six pack and still be under 600 calories. That is the kind of analysis that Andrew Erickson brings to the show. He told me that before the show. Drink the whole six pack, still under 600 calories. That's just good math. But look, honestly, football, fun, friends, fantasy, all of those things come to a cross section. And of course, you can get the Miller Lite sent to your house. You don't even have to go out anywhere. You can have everything ready to go on ice for draft day, or heck, just for Thursday night opener, for Sunday football. MillerLite.com/buy-beer-online. It's the easy way to go. We're all busy. We've all running in 5,000 directions. People got their kids football and soccer. You got school, you got band, you got all these things starting up, and you just want to relax and watch some football. Miller Lite can help you out. MillerLite.com/buy-beer-online. Go check it out today. Order some Miller Lite and enjoy yourself a little bit. Let's enjoy some wide receiver conversation. Let's start with Zay Jones of the Jacksonville Jaguars and Jameson Williams. Now, again, Williams is a guy that's not going to play for Detroit in the first half of the season, but Zay Jones may have some slight impact potentially on some games early on. This reminds me of the first one we did at running back. Do you want the guy maybe that can give you some later impact in Jameson Williams, or do you want to play for now and live in the now with Zay Jones? Let's start with you, Derek Brown, on this one. Jones or Williams, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping?
I'm not in on Zay. He's never shown us that he can be efficient. I understand everybody gravitates to what he did in a really small sample. His yards per rep run was still in the tank. I'm not believing it. Trent Baalke is a fool. Hey, they gave him way too much money. Give me Jameson Williams. And I know that we don't know when Jameson Williams is coming back right now. That takes one headline from Detroit. One headline from Detroit saying, look, Jameson Williams comes back week 4, week 6, week 5. As soon as that headline drops, and it's eventually going to drop, it's going to drop. I'm not saying today, I'm not saying this week, but when it does, everybody in your league is going to go run to try to stash Jameson Williams. Why not be ahead of the curve right now? Mm-hmm. Because as soon as that happens, people are going to be putting in hefty fab bids. So no, I'm not dropping Jameson Williams. Stash him.
All right. That was some passion. I like it. This early in the morning, especially. Erickson, how about you? Stash or drop Williams or Zay Jones?
When I try to stash wide receivers, I'm trying to find guys that could be real difference makers. And I think Zay Jones is just going to be the, hey, you need someone to fill in on a bye week. Okay, pick up Zay Jones and start him because he's going to play a lot in a pass happy offense. Right. Whereas Jameson Williams has a chance to be as a first round pick, you know, someone that we highly touted on this podcast. A lot of us really liked him as even the number one receiver in the class had he been fully healthy. I think that he can be a difference maker and a potential league winner down the stretch as the calendar flips into November, December when you're playing in your fantasy playoffs. Like Zay Jones is not going to be that guy. Like he'll be someone that, again, you can plug in on a certain week, but you know, he's on the Jaguars. Like he's not going to be someone that people are going to go after. It's going to be like 4 weeks in and be like, oh, wow, like Zay Jones is the top 24 wide receiver and he's still available on the waiver wire because no one is going to necessarily be gravitating towards him and you can just pick him up. I don't think that he's a priority for me.
Do you think that there's a possibility, both of you, that Jameson Williams has a Odell Beckham Jr. rookie season finish or flourish at the end? Obviously not as many games potentially, but something to that effect. I see Derek Brown shaking his head. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just look to last year's Lions. He could be this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I don't think it's crazy to say the back half of their schedule is littered with teams that are bad versus deep passing. And yes, I understand that a lot of those stats from year to year are not sticky with pass defenses and stuff, but also for playing for upside scenarios, if we do see something carry over from last year and some of these secondaries are just god awful. I mean, come on. He gets the Bears in week 17. We're not projecting them to be great. Nobody's projecting that. No. So at least if we're talking, we're peering all the way to the fantasy championship week. It's looking pretty. It's looking really pretty.
Erickson, how about you? Same thing. Does he have that kind of an upside just to get it in people's heads about what this guy could be? Because a lot of people who play fantasy football don't watch college football. They really don't know how good Jameson Williams is. I do. You guys do. I mean, he was my favorite wide receiver in the class. And that injury, oh my goodness. I just talk about the air going out of the room. I was watching that championship game and I felt so bad for the kid. Because I thought he would be a lock first round pick over London even. But do you think too that range of outcome potential is there for him still, despite this injury?
Yeah, because it's funny. You try to write off the rookies that get hurt, that don't play in the preseason. Like, all these guys are going to deliver. And then just the special guys just deliver anyway. Like, like when you mentioned about Beckham, it's like he didn't play in the preseason. He was hurt the entire time. And I remember like during that year playing fantasy and like, all right, do I add Odell Beckham? And then there was another LSU receiver on the Giants at the time. And his name is escaping me. I was like,
Reuben Randall.
I was like, all right. Because Victor Cruz got hurt. So I was like, all right, which guy do I pick? I was like, I'll go with the rookie. I'll go with the upside with Beckham, even though we haven't seen anything. And then it was like, okay, like the dude was absolutely ridiculous. Like that's something that could happen with Jameson Williams here. Be absolutely ridiculous because he is that good, even without missing the preseason, coming off an injury. 85% Jameson Williams is going to be better than Zay Jones. I feel confident about that.
Jameson Williams is not going to be catching passes from a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I guess we shade him in that way. Mm-hmm. That's for you. That's for you, Peanut.
Whether I like it or not, he is. I don't like it, but he is. You gotta give the guy his due. And my goodness, I love the Manning cast so much. Can we just give a moment how great the Manning cast is? It's so great. All right, let's talk about maybe a more shallow league problem that people might have. Isaiah McKenzie, very trendy. Lots of upside in theory. Still Crowder hanging around, though. And then Michael Gallup, who isn't starting the year on the PUP list for the Cowboys. We don't know how impactful he'll be right away. But these are two names that are going late in drafts, especially in those 10-team leagues, that people might be looking and saying, okay, which one of these guys can I hold? Maybe it's Gallup, maybe it's McKenzie. Who you stash, who you drop? Andrew Erickson.
I'm going with Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, I think with Michael Gallup, I should clarify that.
I know, everyone knows. I know you said you were positive. I just want to make sure everybody's clear.
I'm going to stash Isaiah McKenzie. Just, he's the starting slot receiver for the Buffalo Bills. And if something happens to him, you can just pick up Jameson Crowder because then he'll be the next starting slot receiver for the Buffalo Bills. And Cole Beasley was super productive in this role last year or for the last couple of years. McKenzie's flashed every time he's got an opportunity. And I know McKenzie's really been like a special teams guy for the most of his career, but now the Bills are not just viewing him as that anymore. They're viewing him as a legitimate wide receiver. So that should change your perception. Like, don't look at the contract. Don't look at that necessarily and look at, this guy produces when he's on the field and he's in a great offensive environment. Whereas Michael Gallup, I mean, he's kind of been like, I think like a little overrated, honestly. Like he was really good his sophomore year and it's really kind of been like injuries and just kind of underwhelming production ever since then. I know Dallas has some space in terms of obviously Amari Cooper's gone, but you know, when is he going to be 100%? Like we don't know. So there's a lot of question marks about Michael Gallup and his role. I think Dallas is going to take a step back on offense overall. So I'll take the guy that's ascending, I think, a little bit more, McKenzie.
All right. Interesting. Ascending McKenzie for you, Derek Brown, or the theoretical number two option in the passing game in Dallas, Michael Gallup.
I'm going to go McKenzie. I have to go McKenzie. I believe in the talent. I believe in the opportunity. I'm not going to take any of the words that Jerry Jones says to the bank about Gallup not starting on the PUP. I can't. I'm not. Mm-mm.
Are you saying Jerry Jones isn't trustworthy? That's a big truth bomb.
I thought you were out of takes, man. What happened?
What can I say? What can I say? I'm sucking up all the energy in the room here.
Now, he had that monster drink. I saw him sneak that in around segment one. So I figured there would be at least one take in that bottle there.
But I want to throw this in here too. And after diving into the matchups this week and stuff like already, the other part about this is you need to stash McKenzie right now because I think he probably comes out week one and balls out. And if you don't stash him now, you're going to be late to the party.
Fair enough. All right, let's move to another grouping here. Some of the young guys getting a lot of buzz here in the fantasy community. Romeo Dubs of the Green Bay Packers, fourth round selection, and Joshua Palmer, who, you know, as much as we all like the talent of Palmer and we hear a lot of good things, there's still a guy named Keenan Allen around and another guy named Mike Williams around too. So the path might be tough here. So Romeo Dubs has opportunity, maybe a faster path, but where do you go here? Will you go with Dubs or you go with Joshua Palmer? And I think I just said Dubs accidentally again. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a slog. I mean, this is just what it's going to be.
Call him Romeo.
It's just no. It's Dobbs, right? Dobbs. It's Dubs. No, it's Dobbs. It's Dobbs.
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 Dobbs. Dobbs. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's early. All right, Romeo or Joshua Palmer, which way are you going here? Derek Brown.
I'm going to go with Palmer in this one. And this kind of comes back to look, we're going to talk about different offensive contexts. The Packers are going to be slow, extremely slow. So that's limiting all the volume for all these wide receivers. Even if you were to project Romeo Doubs to be the number one wide receiver here, you're still probably likely sniffing at 90 targets. Maybe he touches 100. That could be close to the floor for Joshua Palmer in the sense that the Chargers are going to be top five in pace and passing rate. So give me the volume as well as, I mean, the Chargers could be just simply the slam dunk better offense this year. So I want a piece of that.
Okay, so Doubs or Palmer for you, Erickson?
I'm stashing Josh Palmer. I don't think this one's even close, honestly. I mean, I love Josh Palmer. Yep. He was one of my higher sleepers entering this year. And, I mean, with Doubs, like, he's not going to open the year as a starter on offense. Like, he's the number four behind Watkins, Lazard, and Randall Cobb, where you have, you know, Palmer's going to play in three wide receiver sets, which the Chargers should run a lot on offense with one tight end and 11 personnel.
That's the best point, I think.
And Palmer also has way more upside in terms of if Allen or Mike Williams goes down, then we're ranking him every week as like a top 24 wide receiver, and he has Justin Herbert as his quarterback. And we've already seen Josh Palmer flash in the NFL filling in for Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. He can play slot, he can play outside. He's a third round pick. Like, he checks off all the boxes I'm looking for. So yeah, I love Palmer.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook. The first Sunday of NFL season is here, football fans, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus, week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. Just bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team ends up losing. Can you believe that? So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's the code FANTASYPROS. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility requirements apply. See show notes for details. And now, back to the action. All right, next grouping here, Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins. Let's go to two guys who have, you know, maybe potential opportunities here. Certainly guys that I would say have been disappointments at different times in their career. So Sammy Watkins, we know what he is. I feel like we have a pretty good grasp on Mecole Hardman at this point. So, Erickson, where do you go with these two guys? Who's stashing? Who's dropping?
I'm going to go with stashing Mecole Hardman because, you know, we can all try to project, okay, how is the Chiefs receiving core going to shake out? We're all trying to figure out what's going to happen, but we all don't know.
Well, like, he's the veteran in the locker room.
That's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of different ways that this could play out. Like, maybe it's not Juju. Maybe it's not MVS. Like, we don't know what Sky Moore's role is going to be. There's a lot of question marks, and I want to see for 1 week, okay, who's getting the most love in the red zone? And last year, behind Tyreek Hill, you know who was second in red zone targets on the Chiefs? Mecole Hardman. And if you look at Mecole Hardman's body of work, you know who it lines up exactly with as a receiver that kind of flashed as a rookie, kind of didn't hit the next couple of years and then hit in year four? Tyler Lockett, a guy that played a lot on special teams, wasn't necessarily taking the next step after a rookie year that you saw some flashes, but scored a lot of touchdowns. And when we're talking about these good offenses, like, people are too fixated on, okay, who's going to get the targets? Who's going to get the targets? Like, no, who's going to score touchdowns? Like, that's why you want players on good offenses. And last year, Mahomes targeted Mecole Hardman in the red zone as many times as Travis Kelce. So that indicates to me that there is a potential red zone role for Mecole Hardman to take a step when everyone else has written him off. I'm willing to hold on to him for 1 week to kind of see it play out.
Okay, how about for you, Watkins or Hardman? Pretty convincing argument from Erickson to stash Hardman. Are you on the same page here, D-Bro?
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I mean, Sammy Watkins, we've seen this time and time again. Outside of legendary status in week one, there's nothing to
there's
be
a part of me as being the fantasy Loki of this community that would love to see that happen again. Like, oh, I'd love same. To see a two touchdown game from Sammy Watkins
same.
Week one.
Same. I can't tell you that I won't just throw him into one DFS lineup at the Millie Maker just to be like, you know what? Oh, why not?
I already why started this weekend not? Building lineups, and you and I have obviously problems when it comes to this, but I already started looking, and believe me, that thought did cross my mind for a millisecond. I went, no, I can't do that. But then you just said it too. So now I might have to go back and build one more. I don't know.
I mean, it's there. It's there. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do it because hell, I probably will. But Mecole,
it's hard not, like, you see that week one staring you in the face and you know it's going to be bizarro and you know, like, well, there's Sammy Watkins with opportunity and maybe he catches a touchdown. And, oh my God.
I mean, look, the other part about this nostalgia factor, I mean, Sammy Watkins won me a lot of money that week because I had a ton of him. So I can't rule it out. But looking at a player that I actually want to have on my roster, it's Mecole Hardman. And for all of the shortcomings in his career and stuff, if you look at efficiency metrics, Mecole Hardman has not been nearly as bad as we all talk about. His yards per route run have not flashed. They haven't been top shelf, but they haven't been bad either. So we know the speed is there. We know the playmakeability. Like Erickson was talking about, I want to invest in what I think is going to be a better offense. And if we're playing range of outcomes, I can't say that Mecole Hardman definitively has no path at all in any shape, form, or fashion to emerge in this offense this year. So I'll stash Mecole.
All right, one more head-to-head matchup here. Treylon Burks and Jalen Tolbert. Tolbert, young, exciting rookie for Dallas. Treylon Burks, young, exciting rookie for the Tennessee Titans. Well, all of a sudden, there's been a lot of shade thrown at him, and now we're hearing, oh, we're going to have lots of special things for Treylon Burks. So it's hard to make heads or tails of this scenario here. So Burks or Tolbert, again, this is probably more of a shallow league scenario, but I'll put it out to you anyway. D-Bro, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping?
Oh. Man, I can't believe
this is close for you. I'm shocked.
Dude, this isn't close for me. So.
It's not close for me either.
I know it's not.
I'm shocked. All right, go ahead and talk to it.
Colbert's his guy, that's why.
It is.
I hit a nerve here.
Okay. It is. Tolbert's my guy, and I am a little bit worried about the Treylon Burks stuff as far as camp. We've seen the roller coaster, and he didn't do anything during the preseason. I'll go ahead and stash Burks because the immediate target upside is there. I still believe that Tolbert, but the other part about that is we've also heard rumblings out of Dallas camp where McCarthy's talking about involving Noah Brown, and I'm like, really? We're going down that path? Noah Brown is going to start over a rookie that has flashed the entire camp? Okay. I mean, dumb coaches do dumb things. Whatever. I guess I'm going to go Burks here.
Okay. I assume you're going Burks as well, Andrew. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's my guess. You're stashing him.
Yeah. I'm definitely going with Burks, and to, you know, shed some light on what you said about there have some specialized plays for Treylon Burks. Like, that's exactly what he was used like in college. Like a lot of design stuff. And why would you show that during the preseason? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there would be no incentive for them to dial up all these different types of bubble screens and slip screens for Treylon Burks in the preseason, so there'd be film on it for teams to try to defend. Because, like, oh, they lined up on trips to the left. Treylon Burks is the solo receiver. He's in motion. Okay, now we know how to stop that. Like, don't show that in week one. Like, or don't show that in the preseason. So I think that makes total sense based on what his strengths are. And look, this Nick Westbrook stuff, like him running as a number, like, dude, like, this guy's maybe the number two for, like, 1 week. There's no way Burks is going to sit behind Nick Westbrook for that long.
I've seen him fly up the waiver wire charts, and I don't get it. Like, you've seen that percentage go way up, and I didn't see it last year.
He's a jag. Like, the definition of a jag. Like, Robert Woods will be the other receiver that's starting, but I think his upside is limited. Burks for me.
We all see it the same way then. All right, one more thing. Erickson, any honorable mentions in the wide receiver category worth adding?
Yeah, KJ Osborne for the Minnesota Vikings. I think that, I don't know if people are like scared because the team added Jalen Reagor. I wouldn't be scared because he's available. Because I see like KJ Osborne, like I think on Yahoo, he was at like 7% like roster ship. And I'm like, why is no one want that? Like,
7?
Yeah, it was super low. I was like, what is going on? Like,
how many drafts have we done together where I took Palmer and KJ Osborne as my last couple of picks?
Everyone?
Like everyone. Yeah. Seven?
They're really like the perfect bench receivers because most weeks you're not going to start them, but then you see, okay, Thielen goes down. Oh, boom. Now I have a guy I can start every single week.
We've seen that scenario already play out. We've seen it play out last year, so we know what it looks like.
And Osborne was productive in week one of last year and week two.
He was productive in the first couple weeks of last year.
Exactly. And that was with Thielen still healthy.
And a lot of people still didn't pick him up after that first week because they went, it was like that year that DJ Chark popped up there for Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew, and people didn't want to buy into it after that first week. And then by the time it dragged for like 3 weeks before people said, okay, well, we got to pick this guy up because clearly he's doing well. Just 7%.
It was low.
But that's insulting. All right. I'm insulted for KJ Osborne. I just want to point that out there. Let's get to some quarterbacks and tight ends. Let's do a little head-to-head on the QBs. Let's say it's a deeper league. You're trying to figure out some things here. Matt Ryan or Jameis Winston. I know Winston probably has theoretically, actually they both have good matchups in week one, that's for sure. But maybe Winston might feel the impetus to play with some of his toys now that he's got some receivers to actually throw to, unlike last year. Derek Brown, you're Mr. New Orleans. You're the whisperer of the Saints. So you want to go with Winston? You want to stash him? Or you want to stash Matt Ryan? You want to drop the other one? What do you want to do?
I'm going to go Winston. I think we've seen it enough, like basically muted sample size with New Orleans last year, that big time throw rate was up. ADOT was up. Now he's got the weapons to actually let him throw the ball down the field. And Chris Olave, if Michael Thomas comes back, then it's wheels up. So yeah, give me the upside of Winston.
Okay. How about you, Andrew Erickson? I saw a little fist pump there, I believe. So you like this answer that he gave. You're stashing Winston as well and dropping Ryan?
Yeah, no, I'm going to stash Jameis Winston. I like the matchup week one against Atlanta. And then week two, who does he get? Tampa Bay. And I actually want to pose a question to D-Bro. So Tua is more rostered than Jameis Winston is. Tua gets the Patriots at home and then Baltimore on the road. Factoring in both matchups, like, would you drop Tua knowing that you can play Jameis Winston probably the first 2 weeks? I mean, I'm not going to feel comfortable playing Tua against at Baltimore personally, but I know you're higher than him.
Good point.
Than me. What would you decide between Tua and Jameis Winston?
So I think going back to roster complexion, and if you're in a 1QB league and you're looking at, like, obviously we're so early that how many people in a 1QB league are looking at starting somebody this deep in week one, week two? Probably not a lot, but if you're in 2QB super flex leagues, I'm still going to hold on to Tua because I believe in his long term, like his long full season outlook over Jameis Winston. If I need somebody to plug in and I need that upside, I have no problems going Winston. But I think overall, I'm still playing the long game. So I'm going to still side with Tua.
All right, let's do a little super flex action here. By the way, for the record, Matt Ryan's a better long-term investment. Can we not write off Matt Ryan yet? I mean, he's got a much better offensive line now. He's got a great running back. I mean, this is like a retirement community. This is like Del Boca Vista for Matt Ryan now. He is loving life.
Well, I mean, he has one receiver.
That's one more than he had last year, Andrew.
What?
That's one more than he had.
And Russell Gage was good.
And that was it. Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
The Russell Gage shade. Really? This early in the morning?
Gage. Yes. Wow. Russell Gage and Michael Pittman are clearly very close to each other. Jeez. Yes. Let me look at the rankings. Oh, wait, they're not. Oh, wait, they're nowhere near each other. Russell Gage was a default guy last year. And a default guy that I like. Don't get me wrong.
Doesn't sound like it.
Come on.
I mean, Jameis has way more weapons than Matt Ryan. He's got Landry, Olave, Michael Thomas.
Yes, I know. But long term.
All I heard was Joe is buying back into Paris Campbell with me. That's all I heard.
Just fine. That's what you hear. What do you hear this time? Baker Mayfield against Geno Smith. This is called you've had some issues with your Superflex draft. That's what this duo is called. So who are you stashing between this duo, Mayfield or Geno? Erickson, let's start with you with this one.
Oof. Baker Mayfield, because he's better than Geno Smith. So
that is, I think that you can give that easy answer. Same answer for you there, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to go with Erickson's analysis on this one because it doesn't have to be hard. We don't have to make this a long, drawn out process.
Could you imagine, Baker? Could you imagine, by the way, Monday Night Football, that the Seahawks show up and pound Russell Wilson and Geno has like 260 yards pass? Like, it's not.
Pete Carroll's going to be nude. Pete Carroll will be nude in the locker room, just running around flexing with DK Metcalf like, look, guys, I was right.
I want to see Geno Smith walk off the field screaming, let's ride. I just think that would be hysterical. Could you imagine? Let's ride.
Then he's going to get punched in the face Baker by Mayfield, a fan. Though.
I mean, the answer is definitely Baker Mayfield. So, all right, let's move on here. Tight end. Okay, Isaiah Likely has become, again, a buzzy guy. I even just picked him up in a league this morning just because it could. Noah Fant, another tight end, too, that I think when you're in deeper leagues, you're trying to look for some upside or maybe some coverage if the draft did not go your way. So Likely or Fant, which one do you want to stash and which one are you going to drop here, D-Bro?
Let's ride. Let's ride with Noah Fant. That's who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Talon. And I understand we're talking about a third option in Geno Smith offense, but Isaiah Likely, the preseason hype, we need to pump the brakes here on a tight end that runs a freaking 4.8, mid-round pick. I'm not buying into Likely hype. I just can't.
All right, not buying into Likely hype. How about you, Andrew? Fant or Isaiah Likely?
I've seen certain roles with tight end just absolutely nuke their fantasy value, even if they're talented, like Noah Fant. And I think that's what's going to happen in Seattle. So for me, I'm going to stash Isaiah Likely just because Fant's like splitting snaps with Will Disley. He's still behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf in the target pecking order. Obviously, in a real life scenario, Noah Fant is by far the better tight end than Isaiah Likely. Like, Isaiah Likely is not even really a tight end, but that's kind of why I like him more for fantasy football, because if you just kind of look through the lens of, okay, if he was just like a rookie wide receiver that was projected to be the number two or number three pass catching option on the Baltimore Ravens, you'd probably be like, oh yeah, it's pretty interesting. It just kind of like adding in the fact that he is a tight end, even though he was pretty much a wide receiver, you know, at the college level. I think that there is a lot of upside, some curiosity with him. You know, we're all projecting Rashad Bateman to break out, and that should happen, but he still has to do it. Like, it still has to happen. And we've seen the Ravens operate with two tight end sets a lot of the time.
They sure have.
So Isaiah Likely, I mean, why can't he be the number three pass catcher? Like, who, what other receiver on that offense is going to do any, like James Prochet, Devin Duvernay, like these friggin' dudes that have been around for a while that have just really done nothing. And the Ravens are like, oh, like this tight end is balling out. Like, let's get him the ball. Let's feature him. And why not? So for me, I'll take the stash with Likely.
Here's another one. Austin Hooper and Irv Smith, another duo here where you have a lot of people think in Minnesota, maybe Irv Smith can, you know, kind of find his way into this offense. It's going to be tough. We know there's so many different options. That's my concern. And then there's Hooper, who might have a clear path, but again, in an offense, it doesn't throw as much. So this is kind of a tricky situation here. Hooper, Irv Smith, who are you stashing? Who are you dropping, Erickson?
I'm going to stash Irv Smith. I still think that the talent is still there. I mean, Hooper is the prototypical catch a fall down tight end. Like, maybe he's a waiver wire guy that you need to plug in, but Irv Smith has way more upside, in my opinion, in a pass-heavy offense for the Minnesota Vikings. He has a chance to be a full-time player, so he's running a route on 80% of the dropbacks, and basically whenever tight ends fall into that role, they're productive. So I think, like, worst-case scenario, he's like Tyler Higbee from last year, which is like a middling tight end, which is basically where you're going to be drafting him anyway. So I'll go with Irv.
All right. Same thing for you, or do you have a different answer, Derek?
No, it's Irv for me. We're just going to die, but we're going to go into a better offense. Tight ends, we're looking for touchdowns, and I think Minnesota's going to score a lot more of them.
You know, you made fun of me about Paris Campbell before, but Mo Alley Cox is a tight end that I've stashed when I haven't really a lot of options at tight end that I liked, or maybe I took one flyer on Hunter Henry and Albert O, and I said, you know, it's a really deep league. It's 14 teams. Maybe I throw one more dart at somebody else, and it's Mo Alley Cox. Erickson, what do you think about Mo Alley Cox this year, maybe being a guy that kind of emerges? We've seen Matt Ryan utilize tight ends before and get a lot out of them.
I'm in on Mo Alley Cox. Honestly, I think if Michael Pittman doesn't hit this year, it's because Mo Alley Cox is the one that catches the double-digit touchdowns. Like, wow. it's in the back of my head.
Could you imagine that return on investment in Mo Alley Cox and ADP if he gets double-digit
touchdowns? But like,
PDs
why not?
Year?
He's got the basketball profile.
That's what I say.
He has he's 6'5".
He played basketball before?
Yeah, he played basketball in college, dude. Come on.
Sarcasm, Erickson. Sarcasm.
I know.
Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. I didn't know if you guys knew that.
Antonio Gates famously never didn't play college football either, and he was a monster at tight end. So with Alley Cox, We're trying to pick, oh, like, who's the number two going to be? Is it going to be Alec Pierce? Is it going to be Paris Campbell? It's like, how about you just don't draft those guys and take a shot on a tight end that could potentially be a starter if Alley Cox does emerge as the number two? I just think that if you're right about Alley Cox, you benefit way more than being right about Alec Pierce being number two or Paris Campbell being number two. They're wide receivers. Like, you can find them kind of all over the place, where Alley Cox, you can find yourself stumble into a tight end one production with your last round pick or someone that you picked up off the waiver wire. I think when you look at how much they're paying Mo Alley Cox, he's making as much as the top three wide receivers on the Colts combined, the same amount. And Ashton Doolin's actually the highest paid Colts wide receiver right now. And Mo Alley Cox is making three times the amount as he is. So I think Mo Alley Cox is, I think he's like, honestly, besides Irv Smith, I would rather have him than all the other guys we talked about.
I like that. You know, I think actually Mo Alley Cox has more of an opportunity to be good right away than Irv Smith possibly too. What about Logan Thomas? I mean, that's another tight end that, you know, if you look back historically, Carson Wentz's best years is throwing the ball to Zach Ertz. Now, I know that's like a cut and paste thing. That's a dangerous game to play. But Logan Thomas had some moments in his career before the injury where he was very exciting. I liked Logan Thomas a lot. Derek Brown, what do you think about, again, Logan Thomas as a potential stash this week?
I'm not in on Logan Thomas. I think we look at coming off the injury, things like that. Plus, he's never been efficient. I mean, his best seasons for us in fantasy was all driven by volume and routes and things of that nature. So for all these reasons, I'm out.
Andrew, same thing? Are you out on?
Well, no, because Thomas? I mean, you're obviously pointing to the inefficiency of him, but most tight ends are inefficient. Like, tight ends need volume. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's the play with Logan Thomas, is he runs a lot of routes and he gets a lot of targets in his offense, and that's why he scores fantasy points. So he was a top he was a top five tight end in 2020, and he's not getting drafted at all, even though there's a chance he still plays in week one. So there's some, you can also stash him on your IR spot if he does miss week one. So I'm picking up Logan Thomas all over the place as like a second tight end in some of these deeper formats, because We see this all the time. People wrote off Ertz, you know, after he had one bad year, you know, he was banged up, even though he was a top five tight end because of volume. And then he was free the next year. I see the exact same thing with Logan Thomas. Like, what if he comes back, he's healthy? Oh, wow. Now he's another tight end one that you could have got absolutely for free that we've already seen do it. Like, I think that's so important. He's already been a top five tight end. We're not projecting it necessarily. It's like, this guy's already done it, and now he's free. So I like Logan Thomas.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's wrap things up here with a listener mailbag question from, of course, our Discord, which is free to join. But once again, if you're a premium member and you go to fantasypros.com/offers and you upgrade for free for 6 months with a small deposit, you can go ahead and have access to our stages, which are amazing, our AMA channels. You can ask us direct questions and talk to us on stages. So many cool things available. So many cool events also on a Discord. This one is from Floor DeLee OG wants to know, is it crazy to draft Isaiah Likely over Rondale Moore? I have an answer for this, but Derek Brown, I'd like to hear yours first.
I think it's crazy. Yes. I think it's absolutely crazy.
Insanity, personally. Let's not go that far. Erickson, are you in the same mind here?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No. And this is the problem. I feel like sometimes, and I'm glad this question came, because when you start to hear buzzy fantasy names, don't confuse the buzz with a guy who is locked in, who is going to be a part of the offense. Like, you can't, like, this is a player to watch, Isaiah Likely. Probably in your casual 12-team leagues, I don't even know if he'll see the light of day. Maybe he will eventually as the season goes on. It's possible you might end up rostering him. A lot of crazy things happened last year. But you have to kind of put that aside. You have to look and say, look, Rondale Moore has a real chance, and he showed you some moments last year where he could be very special. And this year, there's open path here, at least in the first 6 weeks, for him to carve out something special. So, yeah, this is a no-brainer here. Don't overreact to the buzzy guys. But again, the deeper formats, it's okay to start at least stashing some of them. And that's what we did today. We stashed, we dropped, we laughed, we cried. It's a good time. And we're getting closer and closer to the season. So hopefully, if you have already, thank you. If you haven't already, drop us a 5-star review wherever you get your pods. You just listened, you just enjoyed it. Go drop a 5-star review. It's a nice thing to do. FantasyPros.com/reviews. You can go to Apple Podcasts and drop it. Wherever you listen to your pods, we appreciate it. So we're going to take you through all season. Obviously, this week we got some great guests joining us. We have got the in-season coverage really kicking off this week. Very exciting times. And of course, we want you to be a part of it here at Fantasy Pros. And don't forget, Waiver Wire Assistant is there to help you too. Once you upgrade at fantasypros.com/offers, the Waiver Assistant can be yours. Helps you go through my playbook to find all the players to add in all of your leagues. An easy way to find them without having to go back and forth between all those different sites. It's a headache. Life can be better. The Waiver Assistant makes it better. So does my playbook at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's DraftKings. Head over to DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Download that bad boy and use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's promo code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings Sportsbook. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. Football's almost here. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season... We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.